Hey guys, thanks for listening to Kinda Dating, the comedy dating podcast where I, your host Natasha Chandel, and some really cool guests break down the dating world and try to figure out, why the fuck do we all have commitment issues? Today's topic is very important in dating. It's chemistry. Do you have it? Do you not? Can you fix it? Can you get it? Let's figure it out. Before we start, I have to read this review from Brian B. He said, "You don't know me, but I recently stumbled upon your podcast and just thought I'd reach out. Interesting idea and topic, stuff we don't typically want to talk about out loud, but you are, and that's cool. Keep going." Thank you so much, Brian, for that. It wasn't actually even a review. It was a message you sent me directly. So thank you. And I love when you guys like reach out and send cool things like that. So please keep it coming. And if you can rate us and review us on iTunes, that's very important. So we'd appreciate it. Let's get into today's topic. It's chemistry. And I'm so excited to have fellow podcast hosts. You guys are this TNA Talk Sex. We have T, who's Christina Hepburn.
Hi.
And A, who's Stephanie Allen, here with us today.
Hi.
Thank you guys for being here.
Yeah,
so generally on this show, we don't talk as much about sex because, you know, I try to keep it. I feel like there's a, like, you guys are more of like the experts on that kind of stuff. I just keep it more about like dating, and I'm Indian and I don't want my Indian mom getting mad at me that she knows I'm having sex. I'm not.
I bought my mom a vibrator.
That's how culturally different we are.
yeah, for sure.
But you guys are so open about your sex lives, and I love it so much. One of you is a therapist or work?
I did central body work for 7 years.
That's
which is
crazy.
Like erotic massage, happy ending massage is
well,
the colloquial term.
Well, you also studied what? Psychology in school.
I did. Psychology.
Wow. So you've seen a lot come through your doors.
Yes, I have, in all shapes and sizes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a fascinating time in my life. I don't know. It was an incredible experience. It was also amazingly beautiful. Mm-hmm. Not anything. It was not the dark experience that I think typically goes along with that world at all.
Yeah.
I learned a lot, and I don't know what else to say. I'd have to get specific.
Well, I mean, like, it's what you said. It wasn't this dark world, and interestingly enough, I was reading some articles a few months ago about like that world in general, and there were people who are just like regular college going Americans who just are trying to make ends meet or whatever it is, and like they go into it, and it's not like this trafficking, like not all of it. I mean, I'm sure there's some of that, but like. Not all of it is this like dark reason.
Yeah, no, I'm personally of the mindset that I genuinely feel that sex work can be like, I'm a believer in the old temples of long ago and the sex temples and the sex priestesses because it is a very healing thing. And I think it just totally depends on what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to determine what you get out of it and the quality experiences that you have with clients. I'm sure, especially if girls are very sensual and really connected with themselves, they're available to offer, you know, connection and intimacy.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the girl.
Totally. And you guys are so, like confident and open when you're talking about, do you ever feel weird when is there any topic that you've come across that you feel weird about?
Oh, yes.
Sure.
I feel like it happens on the show. I mean,
definitely.
There'll be moments where we start to blush and I go,
and she's
oh,
like,
God.
Just say it, Steph.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Yeah, exactly. We have to push each other because we'll go, well, I was going to say this, but now I don't know. You know,
you guys have been doing this for 2.5 years. It's like, wow. I feel like you must know everything about each other.
We do.
Oh, about each other. Yeah.
For sure.
We do
especially
definitely know
each other's sex lives.
Definitely.
Sure.
I think we definitely know how to get each other off.
We know each other's
rhythm. Like details of how to do that.
We showed each I love our
you
masturbation
you
episode.
Showed, right?
We actually, we had two comedians on who are hilarious, Ramsey Badawi and Opie. They came and we actually showed each other on their hands what we do.
Wow.
To get ourselves off.
To masturbate. It was an intimate experience.
Yeah.
I recommend people in relationships do that because then
I agree.
You have this eye-opening, mm-hmm. Oh, that's your rhythm. I mean, you know, if you're paying attention.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a form of communication in a way, right? Yeah. Like, you have to be open and willing to, like, especially if you're in a serious relationship, to try to take it to a next level. You need to know how the other person, like, what turns them on, what turns them off, what's working, what's not working. And the only way you can do that sometimes is a demonstration.
Sometimes,
and, like,
yeah.
at some point, you gotta, like, people feel really awkward about it, but you have to let go. Because, like, if that's the person you want to be with, then...
And put in the effort. Yeah.
Yeah. And be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Definitely. Well, I think our show, we also set out wanting to talk about the things that people are afraid to talk about. Mm-hmm. Because I think, especially as women, there's so much bias and embarrassment and, is there another adjective? I don't know, just shame around it. And so things don't get talked about. And I said, you know what? Sure. I just want to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Because I wish maybe some people had been honest with me, and hopefully that encourages, you know, other women or and men even to, you know, feel emboldened about what they want and mm-hmm. asking for it and knowing that it's normal.
Yeah.
Right. And, know, and there's
or at
also
least we're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also the expectation of, like, we should all know what we're doing, you know, and that you're you're bad at sex if you have to ask a question or mm-hmm. if you have to tell someone how to do something. I don't know. So,
oh yeah, totally.
I tell people how to do it all the time.
Oh, she does. She definitely does.
I am the instructor.
That's amazing. So next
left.
Time I need
I have
a
no patience. I have no patience. I'm like, you either walk in the door a master or it's not happening.
Oh,
and,
no,
and
yeah.
Do you mean like a guy?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, learning me is different, but for me, I'm like, there's the project guys.
Totally.
And I'm sorry. No offense to anybody, but I'm like, I can't.
You're past it. Yeah.
No, but you know, when I was driving here, I was laughing to myself because I remembered my lover that I, where, you know, I went to visit him and basically we had sex. He came twice. And like, you know, there are two rounds of sex where he came and I didn't quite get there before him. And I finally, I like got so upset. My back was to him and he said, is everything okay? And I said, no. I said, I come twice before you come once at all. and then he said, yes, ma'am. And then the rest of the week, like, that was it.
Hilarious.
And it was amazing.
Do you actually come during sex?
Like intercourse?
Yeah.
I do, but it's important to say it's definitely an in tandem clitoral internal like seesaw. That's how I describe it. And so I like to like rub on their pelvis at the same time.
Or they're
using their hand.
Yeah.
And it's a rhythmic, but it's definitely a rhythm.
Right. No, it is.
Create like a seesaw rocking boat thing.
I do now. I didn't always. In fact, like the first 10 years of my sex life, I didn't orgasm, really. I mean, I orgasmed through masturbation, but not during intercourse and or sex at all, actually. So, just recently with intercourse. And it all, for me, had to do with, like, more internal stuff, like get really becoming confident with myself and career and what I'm doing in life and really sinking into who I am. Yeah. And then, you know, you blossom in every way, vaginally,
I mean,
too.
I totally agree. I think there's also, like, for me, it's always been also just, like, staying in the moment. Like, I get so distracted.
Petty.
If, like, I now have a roommate. And sometimes even though we have, like, rooms on completely opposite ends of the house, I sort of freak out sometimes. Like, if I hear her walking, I'm like, oh, fuck. And then I'm just, like, out. I'm like, already not zoned in anymore. And so I keep trying to be like, get back in.
Yeah. My threshold's definitely, I'm okay if someone's in the house, but if I'm like in a pseudo public space or like in the car there's someone passing,
I
short circuit. I'm never going to come that way. Yeah.
I know, me too. Like the public thing I can't get, like, is wild. Like, we've had some pretty wild situations in life, but the public thing, it's like, I get so shy,
right.
You know?
But so we were talking a little bit off camera, off mic, about, you know, you guys have dated. You were in long-term relationships. Christina, you were with somebody for 5 years. Stephanie, you were with the Italian
for four.
Yeah. So it's been a long time. And then you've been doing this podcast for 2.5 years, and you clearly, they're your muses. You talk about them the way I talk about the guys I've dated. But you guys were actually in relationships talking about, like, sex stuff. Like, was that ever weird? Did they take it weirdly?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, where bad do we start? Move.
I mean, like, what we I started the show while I was still in the relationship, and I remember him going, "You're gonna talk about sex, you know, like, so you're gonna talk about us," you know? And there was a lot of fear around it. But I have to say, I started doing the show, and so he did listen, and he gave some nice constructive feedback as far as, you know, in our early days. But then there were a couple moments where I would say he got pretty tweaked, and he would, yeah, he'd come at me and say, "Well, you know, you said this, and that's not the way I saw it," and he'd start to kind of argue with me. But it's, you know, it's 3 days later, a week after I said, well, I don't even remember what I said, you know, and he's attacking about it. And I finally said, "Look, you can have your podcast and you get to say whatever you want on, like, on the he version, you know, the he said, she said." I said, "But, you know, but I'm interested in exploring whatever my internal journey is." And actually, just recently, one of my lovers, I mentioned him. And so he went, oh, and he went and listened to it. And I think it brought up some weird stuff for him emotionally.
Yeah.
I thought I spoke very lovingly about him and my experience with him. But the way that he was portrayed, maybe it caught it. I think maybe it forced a mirror up a little bit for himself. Mm-hmm. And so whatever maybe made him uncomfortable about his own decisions in life, he was hearing through my experience, you know. And so he honored it, but he was like, "Oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, but you could see sensitive.
It's amazing how people, specifically we're talking about our lovers who listen, but or like our boyfriends, but it's amazing how, yeah, no matter how loving, and we don't talk shit about anybody.
Of course,
you know,
yeah.
It's always about
whatever.
I mean,
our
unless
experience
they're a douchebag,
was.
I do talk shit about the douchebags, but then I call them douchebags.
Yeah,
they don't know.
Yeah,
which
but
one
we'll
I'm
we'll
about.
Say specifically why that was a douchey move. You know, like,
agreed.
And which is an honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have no problem saying that to their face and communicating
totally
that.
Agree.
You know, so I think we're very good about. I think whatever we say on air, would say in person. You know, but it's really interesting to see how they could. Just they always take it in a different way, you know? And then it's always, no matter who I'm talking about, it could be someone from like 5 years ago, but they always think that it's about them. Always.
Oh, of course.
They're like, "That was," I'm like, "I wasn't even talking about
you."
Like,
I don't remember
you.
A hammock.
Yeah. Yes,
right,
sure.
It wasn't you.
I've had multiple hammock sessions in my life. Thank you. Like,
yeah, even, you know, it's what you said, like, even with my now ex. So when I started the podcast, I was with somebody, I was living with him, and then we broke up in the middle of, you guys know this, like, you have a podcast, and so I suddenly didn't. And I did an episode on breakups. And so I remember, though, you know, I've been very cognizant of, like, even when I speak about him, I can talk about some of the problems we had. I obviously, there are some things I won't discuss, and then but I'm also, I try to be aware not to shit talk him, like you said. And I try to say, "Look, I understand why some things work out and why they don't, and I don't hate the person. This is just obviously some of the hurt I've had from certain situations, but it's not to say, like, that person's a horrible person," so that anybody outside who's known him and, like, us on social media isn't looking at him being like, "What a fucking prick," you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
I think we do a pretty good job of keeping things fairly anonymous as well. I mean,
yeah, you try to come up with nicknames and the Italian and the 5-year guy,
the Burning Man lover.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. I'm sure if you dig enough, you might be able to create some sort of paper trail. But, you know, I don't, you know, the lover with the orgasm, I visited him. I'm not going to say where. You know, you could probably find the list of foreigners on my Facebook wall, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I think it's one of these.
So today's topic is about chemistry. Mm. And I want to know, what do you guys think? Like, what is chemistry?
Well,
may
what
I?
Is, go ahead. Yeah.
Because I've been thinking about it too.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead then.
Over the last year, I did ayahuasca. And I talk a lot about how when I did that, I had all these revelations about.
What is that?
Oh, a psychotropic.
It's like a native, kind of like peyote. So it's a natural hallucinogenic.
Yes, hallucinogenic,
drug
herb
that they use in shaman circles and a lot in South America for mind expansion and for a healing transcendental experience.
Right. So I had all these intense visions about my family and sort of the DNA lineage of it. And it just emphasized this idea of, for me, chemistry on a visceral level, almost like in an innate way, you meet someone and you feel if you're aligned with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I believe that it's on this cellular level that you have connection. And then I think that there's sort of multiple areas that chemistry happens, right? It's almost if you have a puzzle piece clicking together or something, you know, the kind of at the basic cellular, and then, okay, great. Like, I like to take showers in the morning and you take them at night. Now we both can live together. I don't know.
Totally. Yeah.
There's like different categories of chemistry. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's the physical chemistry, mm-hmm. like my body wants to fuck your body. Let's get it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so
then
good.
There's like, and then, so there's that degree of compatibility. Like when I meet a man, I feel like I'm very kind of psychically gifted in perceiving these things very quickly, but there's the physical chemistry, and then, of course, there's the mental world, mm-hmm. intellectual chemistry. There's an emotional chemistry, like an emotional maturity match. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, you can call it whatever you want, but there's this, I would say, spiritual or karmic chemistry, mm-hmm. which I would say is like fate, or is it in the cards, or magic mm-hmm. chemistry, where it's like we can line up on all these levels, like physically, mentally, emotionally, but if that magnetism, that other chemistry factor mm-hmm. isn't mm-hmm. there, then for me, like I know that, okay, well then this is going to be a one night thing, or this is going to be like a 2 week thing, or this is going to be a lifelong thing mm-hmm. or whatever, you know? So I feel like there's like all these different areas where chemistry.
Oh yeah, that was exist. Really well said. Because anyway, I just sort of have these flickerings in my mind of like, oh yeah, that one guy that I was like, oh, I'm going to, Can I curse?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to fuck him.
I've done it three times.
I know, and I kept wanting to say fuck. And
no,
I was like,
say it as many
right, there's a few. And so on the base animal level, you go, mm-hmm. oh, this is a fuck. And it's, you know, and it's great.
My
and
animal
great.
Body yep. is thrilled right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, but those actually, yeah, they happen. And then you feel, I feel like most people kind of, yeah, maybe like half of those categories fit. And so you date. But then there are those like lifelong people. And then there are some who end up kind of on the periphery, maybe because they are a karmic or soul match, but not really a match in other ways.
Yeah.
And so they are the people that check in every few years mm-hmm. and, you know, and you kind of have a place in your heart for them.
But would you describe, same, I've been thinking about this for a bit, knowing this episode's coming up. And it's like when we were talking about, so there's intellectual, there's physical, there's a sexual chemistry, there's a spiritual chemistry. At the core of it, though, it's all about it. It's a little feeling based. It's like a feeling, and it has to turn you on. There's some, even if it's intellectual, it's like when I intellectually connect with somebody, that's turned
on.
Me on.
Yeah,
like, and
maybe stimulating
it doesn't
the
even have
system.
To be. It doesn't have to be on a sexual level. It just has to be something that's. It's like a spark.
Right, almost an inspiration and
yeah,
and aspiration in a way. Like, what am I? There's
yeah.
a.
It's like, and then the word that came in my head was like, it's like that French, like je ne sais quoi. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's that thing in the air, you know? What do you guys think?
Yes, I do think that you feel it in your body. I know. You said it's not necessarily sexual.
Yeah, no.
Right? And this is the thing. Like, I feel like all those different categories, for me anyway, they feel slightly different, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like this is where the whole, is it Aristotle who's like, know thyself? Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, that's what it means to know yourself. Like to know the reaction or what it feels like mm-hmm. to be, to feel attraction. Maybe mm-hmm. that's the word, like intellectual attraction or whatnot. I do agree that there is, you do feel it in your body, and it is a stimulation. It is stimulating, and there is an attraction there. But
I'm going to vote that it's happening in the nervous system.
For sure.
yeah.
That too, definitely.
No, but you know, just the what is that, the kind of tingling or that awareness, and if it is mind or body or all that stuff, it's activating those areas.
Yeah.
There's a blogger named Mark Manson. And
oh, I love him.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
And he said this. So he actually wrote an article on the difference between chemistry versus compatibility.
Yeah, right.
Which is something we'll talk about. But he says, compatibility usually corresponds to the long-term potential between two people. High compatibility between people comes from similarities in their lifestyles and values.
Chemistry, on the other hand, represents the emotional connection present when you're with each other. Two people who have a high degree of chemistry have emotional makeups and personalities that bring out warm, fuzzy emotions in the other, creating a kind of positive feedback loop through which they continue to make each other feel better and better. Call it passion, call it love, call it sickness.
Oh, no.
Right?
Sickness. I think
but like there's a difference between the two.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Like chemistry is not, because that's the part a lot of people think, well, I have this like fucking je ne sais quoi with this person. Like I should be with
it's
them.
Meant to
but
be.
It's really like
you're not compatible in any way.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my bird. Oop. Well, shoot. Do I want to say it? That's fine. Whatever. My yeah, Burning Man lover ever says is, okay, I'll have to be honest with him. Spill the beans. But my Burning Man lover may be this kind of person where we had this like incredible sexual chemistry. Like he was the only lover I've ever had where I had like cock fever for him. Like
yeah.
I've never been that kind of person. I've, you know, at all ever.
Yeah.
Sorry. And, but like the sexual chemistry is insane, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but then I really don't know. I don't know if we could actually ever be really compatible. Like, we're so different, you know? And, like, daily living, I think, would just be a disaster.
Yeah.
But then my ex, like, the one we were talking about exes earlier, so the ex before the Italian, he and I were together for 6 years. We had businesses together. We've lived together. Mm-hmm. We broke up, and then we came back, and we've been roommates for 2 years in LA. Like, there's so much compatibility. Like we're like, it's like living with yourself. Like we're so simpatico, but yet no, he's like a brother.
Yeah.
There's just no,
none of that.
Nothing, you know? Yeah.
And I think chemistry is also the thing that probably makes us like hung up on somebody. Like my ex and I have broken up. I'm seeing somebody. I'm not hung up on my ex in any way, but there's still like thoughts and feelings about it, you know? And it was really interesting when I was kind of researching this episode and thinking about it myself. I was like, that's that thing that I wasn't able to put a finger on of like what felt like I was something was holding me to the situation a little bit. And I kept, and I finally realized it was because I kept telling people, Aisha knows this because I've said it to her several times. I'm like, you know, it was just a different feeling. It was just a different feeling. And then I realized, that was the chemistry.
Yeah.
And the chemistry made me like it's made me hold on to something. But again,
sort of
when I think about the compatibility, I'm like, I don't really know if that was there.
There's a fellow like this from my college days, and we still stay in touch. But we pretty much only talk on the phone. And we even live in the same city now. We were both in New York, and now we're both in LA. And I don't see him in person because I know that the chemistry is so intense and I so don't want to go there again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just talk. We just talk on the phone.
Yep.
And there's so much love there. But there's not the compatibility. And I think that we all ask ourselves, like, how do we want to build our lives with someone? And so you're looking for someone you can build your life with that ideally you have chemistry with.
Yeah. And like, so when you're starting to date somebody, you know, I think we'll all agree a level of chemistry is important, you know, and I do think everything in balance. I don't think you should, if you meet somebody and you're like highly fucking obsessed with them because you have this like overpowering feeling, then maybe
breathe.
Well,
breathe.
We did a show about this too, you know, so for a year I was fixated on this dude.
Yeah.
And I knew.
Yeah,
but I would call it a little, not toxic.
Emotional.
But it was,
emotionally driven.
Well, but it was still a projection.
But it's a still
of,
level
yeah,
of
like
chemistry,
I,
yeah.
But I would say that the emotional projection causes the chemistry. You guys should read Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. It's an amazing book.
Yeah.
But it talks about that, like how your beliefs can literally change the hormones and like everything running through your body. It's insane.
Yeah. But I think that was my point, is that it was at such a high octave that I had to check myself and kind of say, what's really going on here and why am I driven for this individual?
Yeah.
You know, and I found, I unearthed kind of what I needed to work on in myself.
Yeah.
And sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the cool thing though, is that like you were saying, Natasha, with your ex, it's, there is that thing that keeps you attached, and we are like our brain gets wired for this person and there's mm-hmm. a lot going on physiologically, and who knows, like I personally see the world in an energetic way, so who knows what's going on that level mm-hmm. if that's there, you know. But the cool thing is that with chemistry, it's just, it's, you can change it, you know, all it takes is abstaining or right. reprogramming, yeah. you know, and over time, like that will shift.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, conversely, if you date somebody and they're, maybe you're, the chemistry is, it's some form there, but can you figure out if you have chemistry with somebody without having sex?
Yes. Yeah, I think yes. so. For me, I think so.
You know what? I think when I was younger, I didn't think that was true as much.
I agree. When I was younger.
And yeah, now that the years have passed, I mean, I'm dating someone
guys,
now.
You look like you're 22.
And you learn a lot.
Thank in, God we're not 22.
Exactly.
You're
like
the most experienced 22-year-old I've ever met.
You're sweet.
Yeah, learned a lot. And I, but where do I want to go with that? I don't know.
When you were younger,
the importance of like sexual chemistry.
Well, I'm dating someone. I just went on a few dates with him, yeah. right? And I know he's what I call a sensualist, right? Like mm-hmm. that's his way of being, and so his the way that he touches my hand, the way that he's gentle or intentional with his way of being, whatever, in our yeah. in the same space, I go, oh, okay, it's gonna yeah. be good. You know, and yeah, and so I think there's a heightened awareness of compatibility in that way.
Okay, but
yeah,
if everything was, you had a certain, you had intellectual kind, like you were connecting with somebody, okay, even spiritually connecting with somebody, but the sex wasn't good, like as in the sexual chemistry wasn't there.
I've never had that happen.
Really?
Never.
Have you? I've had it happen.
Yeah,
really?
I'm like, let me think.
I'm more than once. This. Like, I'm
yeah,
psychically, like,
so you like know beforehand.
I know in a minute, you know?
Like, I have been in those situations multiple times to a point that now I'm freaked the fuck
really?
Out. Like, with
wow.
my ex, everything was so great. And so I was like, and we didn't have sex for a long time because, poor guy, I made him wait for a month when we first started dating. And then I got in a really bad car accident and I had a concussion and I wasn't allowed any stimulation. So they were like, you can't do anything. And so
wow.
it was like another month and a half before I was allowed to like do anything. And so, it was 2.5 months before anything happened really with us. And the whole time I was freaking out. I was like, what if the sex isn't good? What if the chemistry in that level isn't good when all this other stuff was good? Thankfully, it was
Oh,
very
it was good.
Good. Yeah. But I freak out because I've been with people in the past that there was this one guy, on paper, everything my family would have wanted me, like the guy that everybody would have wanted me to be with. And his family, too, they were like, this is the type of girl you should be with. We were friends for a long time, for like over 2 years. Just got each other so well. And then for some reason, sexually.
Can I ask you something, though?
Yeah, yeah.
but with that, like it, what did you feel in your body, though, with when you were around him? Like, did you feel like a burning? Did you feel that attraction? Did you feel that magnetism?
I thought I did at the time. And like, he was a great kisser and all that. So I was like, that was the first time that I was like, yeah, of course this is going to be great. And then, but unfortunately, like, I'll call it out, poor guy, he had ED. So... So then, you know, and I tried and I was like, okay, no, we'll just try. But I tried to stay in it for a few months to be like, maybe he'll feel comfortable. We'll change. Let's try this out. Like, I didn't want to run away because of that. And it just wasn't
changing.
It just wasn't. And then that chemistry was gone. Like, I didn't feel any sexual urge to want to be with that person because then I couldn't feel stimulated. And I felt like I was... You know, sometimes you then do internalize. You're
yeah,
like, what does it mean?
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so was it the ED, though, that, like, maybe the chemistry could have been there, but there was this other issue,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I mean, and that the person, like, you know, I don't think that he
chemistry.
Wanted to, yeah.
Well, and
that's why
was
I'm
that
like,
something he was willing to examine, or was there too much shame around it to
I think there was a little bit
it.
Of shame around it, so I don't
yeah.
think he, you know.
You know, and this is a side note, but it reminds me, so this one guy, he had ED. He was actually a client, and And it was this Madonna whore complex thing with him where, like, he respected me so much.
Oh, my God.
And, like,
I know those people, too. Yeah, but,
so I'm like, it was so this him?
Weird. I'm guessing
like,
that's
maybe he was
rife
so
in
into
Indian
you,
community.
You know, because he was Armenian. Like, so different culture. I don't know. But so it's like. Like, no, I really like you and you're this amazing woman. And so we would be fine. Like, yeah.
So weird. I had like the exact same thing with who I'll call Bruce Lee, the douchebag. But like he and I had fucking amazing chemistry, which probably made me overlook all the douchey parts of him. But when it came to sex, he wouldn't have sex with me. And we were on and off for a year. And I was like, what the fuck? And he was Caucasian. You know, and I was like, I don't understand. And he was like, what was his excuse? It was like, I'm so emotionally overwhelmed by you that I like can't do this. And I was like,
yeah, Hattie, what do you come again?
Like, I'm literally naked. And I'm like,
you're like, do you see what's in front of you right now?
Okay. And,
All right. I can't. I mean,
thank you. That one I've been trying to figure out today.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to go talk to him again.
I mean, no, we did. I was like, STD? Are you gay? Is it like we can have a conversation? It's totally fine. Like nothing.
Yeah, but I guess like you weren't meant to be in some way. Yeah. I mean, I've had those moments where I sometimes try with certain people where I would say they're perfectly fine people, perfectly eligibly sexy people that other people find attractive, and I'm like I don't want you.
Yeah.
you're not for me.
Yeah. But I think the only way to overcome the Madonna whore, like I tried to help this guy, like I tried to sort of therapize him through it as much as I could.
Yeah, so did I.
Because he wanted to. He's like, talk to me about this. I'm like, I don't know. Like, you need to dress. Like, that's the thing. Like, beliefs around sex are so core. Yeah. So core. And they can be shifted. I've shifted a lot of mine over time. But you really have to dig deep and you got to look at stuff and, a lot of people don't want to.
So if the sexual chemistry wasn't there, would that be a deal breaker for you guys?
Actually, you know, I was going to say, I wanted to just add this one thing. The guy that I mentioned that I sort of became obsessed with and I realized it was my own emotional issues. The sex we had was okay. It wasn't remarkable. And I remember thinking, but it could be great.
Right.
I was like, it was just the first time. Like, it'll be better.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like
that
driven to make
happened.
It better. I mean, it was insane. I've so rarely done this. For me, if it's not there, I'm not going to pursue. But I had a funny conversation with my mother the other day. And we were talking about the men I'm dating
right
now.
Way too close for comfort.
I know. Well, this is the point. It's so funny because I'm paying attention more to where I'm getting my ideas and my perspective from. And I heard my mother go, you know, I mentioned some guy and she basically cuts me off mid-sentence and says, how's the sex? She says, yeah, but is it good sex? Are you coming? And I said,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I said, yes, it's good. Yes, but it sounds like you're not that passionate about it. You know, just driving.
That's because
like,
she knows her daughter.
Yeah. And she's like, is it the best sex you've ever had, though? And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know if it's the best. I mean, I can, you know, a hierarchy. I mean, there was one guy who was the best, but maybe we weren't compatible in every other way. And he lives in a different city. I don't, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so just sort of this mania of, you know, is the sex good? And that is very important to me because I do feel like, think back to kind of what I was saying almost on this, like, biological cellular level, I want to be received.
But would you say as you've grown older? No, I'm sorry. Let me know. What were your thoughts
on that?
Yeah.
My thoughts were that for me, sexual chemistry it's a circle. Like all of these things go together in a circle, and so when you put all these pieces together, compatibility, chemistry, emotional maturity, all this stuff, like I think when it works and it's the right person, then it all works, you know?
Absolutely.
And if there's not chemistry there, then the relationship needs to be a different kind of relationship.
And I think the chemistry part for the people who are listening, like, especially for guys being like, what the fuck does sexual chemistry even mean, really? I do think that it's not just a feeling. It's like, do you get each other's rhythm? It doesn't have to be the best sex necessarily, it has to be. Do you get the rhythm? Is there still something that's like you're understanding the flow? Because some people just don't have a flow to it. You know, they're just like a fucking bunny rabbit, like bah, 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 bah. And you're like, that's not.
That's
like,
not my
rhythm.
Are
you not sensing my energy, which is saying that's not what I want, you know?
Right.
And then there are some people who do something really different. They're just like not getting you. And I feel like that's sort of also part of that chemistry and reading the other person.
Yeah, there's such a bliss in finding someone that is matched to your rhythm and your and so that does feel like a unique chemistry. I mean, to be able to create music together physically, right? You're rhythmically moving together. And sometimes
and the clapping. I had to say it.
Exactly. The actual, the literal noises and just the, you know, bodily vibrations.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so true. I mean, there's so many people with different rhythms or I don't know how different they are.
Well, can I say that, you know, on our show, our tagline is sex is never just about sex. And for me, like when you talk about like the jackhammer rabbit guy and, you know, all these things, like
I think he's not listening.
Exactly. Like there's something deeper going on here, you know? And when
he was on Adderall and he was like crazy.
They need chemical stimulation I think sex with someone or the way they do sex is just an indicator of their fundamental values and their fundamental operating system, I think. And so it's just another indicator of who this person is.
Yeah.
But
go ahead.
I was going to say, I will say on mentioning the guy thing in chemistry, I do feel like guys don't get this as much.
Yeah,
I feel like for them, there's like one kind of chemistry. Mm-hmm. It's like
physical
chemistry, period, which maybe encompasses like everything. But I don't know. I feel like they don't. When we describe what's like, well, like women are like, well, yeah, no, I like you. And yeah, no, we do get along and there is this and that. But they're like, okay, well, why don't we have sex? It's like, but, you know, it's like women were able to distinguish all these different levels. Mm-hmm. And guys, it's just like one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say 100%, but it does feel biological in the sense of since we are the womb, we do carry children. I feel I maybe have this more nuanced reading of a potential partner. Maybe.
You know,
we are the choosers.
Spreading their sperm everywhere, just jacking off all over. You know, I don't care. Just take my sperm.
We do have a male in the room.
I was going to say, I feel bad saying this because there's a man in the room and I'm like.
Is chemistry something that like guys get?
Like all the different kinds of chemistry.
I understand the question.
are you sure you understand the question?
I think about it a lot, actually. But I am not a typical guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that, yes, I get what you're talking about completely. And I look for it on the different levels and I'm able to understand on the different levels. Most of the people I know do not.
Right.
Most of the men that
And what do guys perceive as chemistry? Like most, like what does that mean for a dude for the most part?
I would venture to say that based on my experience, typically it's, do they feel relaxed and comfortable with the person that they're with, no matter what they're doing? So if they're banging or if they're just having coffee or if they're going for a walk, if they feel comfortable and relaxed that they don't have to be a certain way,
right?
Then there's chemistry there. And in particular, you know, they subsequently want to go and have sex.
That is interesting because I've heard a lot about recently a few of the guy friends I've been speaking to saying that being relaxed and comfortable with somebody is really important to them. And like, of course, it seems like a common sense thing, but
maybe that's a bigger issue for men.
Yeah.
Because there's so much expectation put on them as well.
That's actually important to a dude.
Well, yeah. And I think also somehow that relates in things I've seen with them I think men also have to be on in a certain way, and expectations mm-hmm. that are put on them, that to find a partner where mm-hmm. they don't have maybe as many demands or something, yeah. or it's more fluid, they feel safe with, yeah. maybe. But this also sounds like, I mean, we are kind of, when you start conjecturing and saying, well, these do, you know, dudes, maybe
it's
these
fucking
are
dudes. They're yeah, all the I know. Same.
But these people who maybe
all
aren't.
All guys are big. One big. No.
But maybe I'm men kidding. And men and women who aren't interested in being as specific, or maybe have lower expectations of what they need out of a partner, or that sounds like a judgment, less detailed about it. I don't know. I mean, because I love that you're saying, Mace, that you are more subtle and nuanced. And I think about the men that I'm friends with are more subtle and nuanced. And I think the men that I date, you know, I'm the man that I was just on a date with. Yeah. But he is also looking for, you know, a dynamic match, yeah. or has a lot of different areas that he wants.
He's looking for compatibility, maybe.
Yeah. Oh. A commitment.
It is funny, though, because the guys are like, I hear that a lot, you know, and I meet guys like, you know, or even clients in the past are like, I feel so relaxed and good around you. And then they fall in love. And I'm like, that's too easy. Stop. Wow. You know, I'm like, how is that? Yeah. I feel, I don't know, yeah. it's sort of mind-boggling.
No,
totally. I mean, it's sweet. It's very sweet, you know. But
no, but I get it. It's like you don't know beyond this level. Right, so, yeah, it's a weird thing.
I think that can be challenging being in the kind of work we do, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you're a performer, we're performers.
Yeah. Right,
in a
right.
way, you're kind of operating in the currency of your social charisma. And so there is a heightened level of people going, wow, I feel so natural with you. And you go, well, yeah, it's my job.
Exactly.
All the time.
I've got a knack for it.
Yeah, it's hard to, and I think that can be really hard for mm-hmm. people to understand. And it is hard to understand.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a rare, you know, you're going, well, but I feel so much when I'm with you. And you're like, yeah. And occasionally I will feel the same thing back.
It just makes me wish that or think that there's such a big disconnect in the general world, though. It's like, well, why can't we all be this open with ourselves and charismatic so that there's like, you're not, people aren't starved for it.
Totally.
You know?
Well, I think that we can be, which is why we do our show.
We're going to continue this conversation on chemistry. And can chemistry actually develop? Is this something that we can work on with each other or with a partner that we're seeing? But we're going to talk about that after this break. We're back with TNA Talk Sex hosts Christina Hepburn and Stephanie Allen, and our topic today is chemistry. So,
my favorite,
right? Like, how long should you wait for it to develop if you're not feeling it right away? Or like you're feeling something, you know?
I've tried
like,
to force the shoe on.
Yeah.
You know, you're going, I should like mm-hmm. this guy. And then he's so into me. Mm-hmm. And maybe, and my friends think he's hot. I had a couple
like,
guys.
There's something wrong with me. Uh-huh. Maybe, you know? Yeah.
That's not the case. And actually, I think it's really important. I think women suffer from this more than anything. A lot of guilt around it where they go, I don't know. I'm just not into
it. I should like this person.
Uh-huh. And they try to even, maybe they'll even put themselves in a sexual situation mm-hmm. to try and make it work. Mm-hmm. Just be true to yourselves, ladies. You
is
know,
there
if
a timeline?
It's not there.
Should you try? Like, here's the thing, though. Sometimes I feel like, okay, in the ideal world, yeah, you would meet somebody and you would have chemistry right away, and at least on some level, you'd know. But sometimes, like we were just talking about it, people hold back so much,
right.
And especially on first dates, like mm-hmm. people are not themselves,
yeah.
And so it might be hard to even actually feel real chemistry because you're not even letting the other person into who you are and your energy. Because, you know, you're an energy person, Stephanie. So,
right.
like, if you're not letting them in, then they don't have anything to connect to.
Right, yeah.
So, like, should you give it a couple?
It's a little bit like your Burning Man guy. I feel like maybe you knew you were physically attracted, but in a way you weren't letting him in energetically and he called you on it.
That's true, but in the end, I think I'm right.
Yeah, he's like, give me your energy.
Well, no, okay. I mean, this was a longer story, but is there a time frame? I don't know. Yeah, with this guy, like, we connected and whatever, and it was no chemistry, none. Like, I really admired him, respected him as a person, but wasn't happening. you know, a few drugs later, Burning Man, yes. I had this crazy opening. We had this eye-gazing moment in the desert, you know, and then he did. He called me on my shit like, oh, this is something that you do. You know, you like
try to control it.
Try to control it. And it was something that yeah. I did. So in my heightened state of awareness, mm-hmm. I looked at that and I was like, oh, my God, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to let go of that control. And then I did let him in. It was mind-boggling sex, but again, like the compatibility yeah. is like zero. So I think on a level, I think my intuition was right that this will never be,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah. I'm glad I opened it for that one experience. Yeah.
I was about to say, it's interesting to look at. Could you open yourself to, like, I think women are taught maybe early on, like, compatibility is paramount. Don't yeah, waste yeah, your yeah. time unless you've got all these boxes checked because you're priming for marriage, like all this stuff in America, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's really beautiful when you can say, I'm going to let myself be open to chemistry.
Totally.
But you have to be careful with it because it can become addictive, or it could be, right? I mean, if yeah. you're, I don't respond very much to men that I don't have an instant chemistry with. Yeah. Now, do I necessarily sleep with them right away? No. And I also realize this person I'm dating now, put it out there, he's not listening.
Don't tell him about this episode.
I know. There was reservations. I had a lot of reservations, but a lot of it is more psychological than about chemistry. Mm-hmm. But if someone, you know, was looking at us, they'd go, well, you're resisting, or you're not moving into that. You know, maybe you guys don't have chemistry. Yeah. I said, no, I think I have fears around certain little things yeah. and I need to like talk to him about them to take down yeah. those barriers.
Yeah. Go ahead. There are, like we said, again, we naturally end up coming back to like chemistry being like a sexual thing. But I do, like the guy I'm seeing now, and in general, it's been told to me several times, like I'm not a visibly emotional person, especially when it comes to like dating and relationships. I'm like sort of very
poker face.
Yeah. And I'm like, do you guys know those like 16 personality types thing, those quizzes you do, like you're an ENTJ or something like that, whatever.
Right.
I'm an INTJ. And I think like the one line that just described my entire dating life, it was like, your Achilles heel is like small talk. I don't know how to flirt and I don't know how to do those things because I'm a very like intellectual mind
cerebral.
Person so right. I to me it's like once you get me here then I'll be like, oh yeah, okay, and then all those like feelings things come out, but I'm a very rational person when I date at first. Mm-hmm. So
well, it's kind of
that
it's like
said,
finding the key to unlock
I'm also very emotional, and the people who know me know that. It just takes time for that to come out. But when I've dated some people and I've been confused in terms of the overall feeling of it because I'm not sure, I watch my actions, and I know that like my ex who I was with for 4 years, I wasn't sure right away how I felt, but then I just asked myself, I'm like, well, but you see him all the time and you want to see him all the time and you always find excuses to see him all the time. So I think that that's the thing that, you know, you're just trying not to just to like admit it to yourself because for whatever, maybe it's like overwhelming or whatever it is. Same kind of thing with the guy I'm dating now. Like, I really like him. Mm-hmm. I won't ever show it. And that, like, not like he knows it. But again, even to myself, I've had to say, like, do I? I'm there, right? Am I not there? Like, maybe I'm not there. But then I think about it. I'm like, well, you see him 3 times a week. You want to. You try to make plans all the time. You have fucking really great sexual chemistry. Like, all those things are there that keep me going. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, so it's just really my own barrier.
Right,
that's like
right.
Not
or
letting
like a fear.
Me, yeah,
a fear
exactly.
Of, yeah, getting
just like letting
deep,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, be vulnerable mm-hmm. or whatever it is. So like those are the
well,
things.
Exposing
that,
yourself
yeah.
to someone.
Well, at least you see that, you
yeah.
know, and you, I yeah. I
but
do,
you know when it comes out? What? When I'm drunk.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
and I never drank before 1.5 years ago. So I've never in my life drank. So I didn't know that side of me. But like now when I see myself and I get, and I drink, I'm like, I get so affectionate with the people I like and like I love, yeah. And like he gets it too. He's like, you get mad handsy. I'm like, because I really like people. And I'm and so like, I know. And if I don't like you, I don't like you. And I'm never going to be rude, but you know. So funny enough, that's how I kind
that's
of am, like, that's how like the truth serum comes out. I'm like,
funny.
Oh yeah, I really do like him.
That's funny. I do think though that chemistry, actually it's funny. I was thinking about to say, I was in my local coffee shop. I don't know why. I don't know why this came out. I don't maybe because we were doing the show tonight or whatever. But I was thinking about how the power of habit, mm-hmm. And like I don't really like that coffee shop. Really, the coffee really sucks. You know. And but the thing is that I go there. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. You know. And it's a cool place, and the people who go there are cool or whatever. But it's just kind of whatever. It's got some negatives. But I go there habitually. And, you know, now I see, like, you see the people behind the counter, and then you see the regulars who go there. And so now there's, like, I feel love for this coffee shop, yeah. You know, and for the people in it. And then I was thinking about marriage, you know, and relationships mm-hmm. and that same effect and, you know, arranged marriages and mm-hmm. how, you know, like, older people that I've talked to, it's like, oh, you get used to them. You know, love grows.
Yeah.
And I really, yeah. In my old age, I do feel that definitely
the old age
happens.
Of 22.
I know, the only ripe old age. But I do feel like, I mean, it, yeah.
No,
I think it does grow.
I think. Completely well, agree.
But you know what? When you said that, an alarm went off for me, and that was, so be careful who you're letting in. And that's
true.
Where the walls come
true.
Up going,
yeah.
Because I need to make sure I choose this partner safely because the love is going to grow and I'm going to be more accepting of certain things and
right.
I'm going to let
exactly.
this slide.
So,
and,
right. That's true,
you're,
too.
You're perfect. It's like you were reading my mind right now.
Yeah, we're both going, well, that's why we
like,
have
don't
barriers.
Pick an abuser. Like,
yeah, that's why you have walls
never
to jump
this
over.
This next blogger, you probably know him too, Evan Mark Katz.
No, I haven't.
Great, great blogger. And, you know, the topic was of like, can chemistry be dangerous? And he actually wrote, when you're under the, and this really made me today be like, this is what's been up. It's like, when you're under the influence of chemistry, considering we already spoke about what chemistry kind of is, you're under the influence of hormones that act like drugs. Can't sleep, can't eat, high highs, low lows, the feeling of obsessive longing, it's all quite unhealthy. And what most of us have discovered is that part of the intensity of these feelings, you may completely end up ignoring your partner's bad qualities. Chemistry allows us to sweep under the rug the fact that he's a selfish asshole, that she's a crazy bitch, and later justify this behavior and fight to stay in broken relationships that make us unhappy. This is why I have long advocated putting compatibility up on the same pedestal as chemistry and perhaps elevate it even higher.
Yeah.
And like that, to me, I was like, that explains half of our exes and half of the shit that we do is mm-hmm. like, we know, we see the signs, but it's that... But I have that feeling mm-hmm. and like,
yes, it's a drug running through your body.
Mm-hmm.
I, yeah, you know, I like T and Christina. We've both sort of been in this new space where I'm a big advocate right now of waiting to have sex in relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you're dating someone mm-hmm. like I was dating a 60-year-old was my last I like the silver foxes.
Nice.
Was my last guy, but we waited 5 months before having sex.
Wow.
We did other things, and I honestly,
totally.
I wouldn't have, like, if I had to do it over again, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have gone that far either. I would have stuck to kissing, and that's it. But I wasn't I didn't have the discipline. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't control myself.
I feel like
but
5 months is pretty good discipline.
Yeah, I feel
girl.
Like I keep saying I'm going to do that, and then I'm like, oh, well, I had,
but it's different if you're intending to have a casual thing.
I know, yeah.
Then it's like, you know, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But for really dating, you know, or being with someone, I really, for that reason, like, I feel like I am seeing more and more mm-hmm. that chemistry is a impermanent, temporary thing. And
I agree. I want the compatibility to be there before I let my body bond with mm-hmm. this person.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Because I know my body is going to bond. Like, I can feel it.
It
would be
bonding.
Tough. If
I
you
feel
had
like
the
now
fear.
I'm much better about
bonding.
It. Like now I feel like I get it. But there was a point that I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, definitely to see. I think you can see someone more. Mm-hmm. You can see someone yeah. more clearly. And to also develop that, this sounds old school. I sound like a grandparent, but it's like to develop that, mm-hmm. that intimacy that comes with, you know, deep connection and just going through life together. Mm-hmm. Like once you've been through several months of ups and downs and real life, like real emotions, that's where you get to know mm-hmm. someone. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been the same way. I was a notorious commitment phobe for 5.5 years. I didn't give a shit. I had all my flexes. I didn't wait. I was like, I don't give a shit about you. And I was, I'm not that emotional. So it's very easily, like, easy for me to detach from people and be like, okay, bye. And then as I started getting back into like, oh, I want to be in a relationship. I want more in my life. I started, funny enough, I gave myself two lists instead of doing the quantitative list, which is like the person should be tall and have this job and make in, you know, fill all these like this list thing that we have. Instead, I started going like, what are the qualitative, what's the qualitative list I have? How should they make me feel? And at the core level, not just like I want to feel love. I was like, the two things that are extremely important to me is I want to feel peaceful and I want to feel safe with somebody. And then on top of it, it's like these are the values that are really important to me. And the thing that hurt me the most with my ex, we were living together and he wanted to, you know, at one point get engaged and all this stuff, to suddenly come out and be like, I'm not ready for a relationship. And I was like, what the fuck? But I realized that he was lying about what his core values were. Mm-hmm. And so, and again, because we had that chemistry, I overlooked a lot of things. I overlooked a lot of problems he had and a lot of like red flags, like not a bad person, but he had like real bad anxiety issues that he couldn't, because he couldn't cope with it. He was acting out, not like learn, you know, dealing with it or talking about it. So it made being in a relationship in that level difficult. And I realized though that the core of it are values.
Yeah.
weren't really meshing. And so I'm like, and now when I look back at a lot of the people, I'm sure you guys have too, that you were hung up on, like your guy that you were, you know, for a year, I had the same dude, like Bruce Lee was my 1 year guy that I was obsessed with and I couldn't understand why. I didn't even have sex with him. I didn't do anything. I'm like, what the fuck? But I kept telling everybody, like, I just have this feeling. It's this feeling. It's the connection. Like, you guys don't get it. It's just like we get each other on a different level. And as a result, it becomes really dangerous because that's not compatibility. Like,
yeah, I mean,
he and I did not have any values that matched.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I dug at in that situation when I felt that for that guy, I really looked deeper into what it was that I was desiring and what I found attractive about him. And then I noticed that maybe that I had a deficit of that quality. And so I started to practice exercising that. Mm. And that is what got me over my addiction to him.
Nice.
And I say that because I think people can feel trapped by it too. Mm-hmm. You go, oh my God, this person is seething in my brain. Well, how do you use it productively? Like, how can it actually benefit you?
There's a reason.
Yeah.
It's signpost, you know.
Yeah, I like that because I also do believe in sort of the flow and rhythms of like, why did that person catch your eye? Like how, you know, what are they showing you? So there was one guy who did become, you know, I had so much chemistry with, and he was, you know, I practiced an open dynamic with my partner off and on during the 5 years. And so at one point towards the end, I got involved with someone, which Stephanie, you were there when we met him. And it was like on fire the minute we met. Yeah. I mean, so bizarre. I mean, we sat in a movie theater with our knees touching without it. We'd maybe talked for 5 minutes before. And then it was like, our knees were touching the whole movie and it was like on fire.
Yeah.
Right. And then
sometimes they're just,
Yeah. And it went from there. And he taught me to use my voice more. I wasn't speaking as freely as I needed to. And somehow I had more strength by being involved with this person. And years later we were talking and he said something like, oh yeah, sorry about the way that your relationship ended. And I think he maybe felt a little bit responsible. And I said, not at all.
Yeah.
I said, you were this like pressure release that I needed. Right. And I got strength and I learned from you. And I didn't put expectation that you were somehow going to carry the torch from this other partner. Yeah. But I needed you in some way, and it filled that, and it allowed for me to grow and change. Mm-hmm. You know, no sorries, just it's all information. Yeah. And how does it help me see myself better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's why I thought this episode was important, because even though, like, again, surface level, we can be like chemistry, just sexual chemistry. Do we bond? Do we whatever? But like when you break it down into like chemistry versus like compatibility, I hope the people out there who are listening can like, you know, find the balance between the two. I do think chemistry is important, but like yeah. find the balance and like also make sure that you're compatible on like a core value Definitely. Level. Yeah. And Elizabeth Gilbert, you know, Eat, Pray, Love author, mm-hmm. she had this great long quote, I'll paraphrase it, but about the difference between soulmates and like your life partner. And the soulmate is somebody that you have this crazy chemistry, hardcore connection to. They're the person who breaks you open and like puts a mirror to yourself, mm-hmm. but they're not the person you're supposed to be with. Mm-hmm. And the person you're supposed to be with is the one that you feel peaceful and you're comfortable and your best friend and the person that will bring your heart peace versus rile you up. Right. ideally, we can find a balance of both. You know, you need a little spice, but yeah. hopefully your core values kind of match.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like the scales being balanced, I think, is an ideal because, yeah, yeah if you're not getting the, yeah, I fear also overvaluing the.
The soulmate one?
No, the other one.
The life partner. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's what I was overvaluing thinking. The, yeah, but not life partner, but rather the compatibility thing, because I think a lot of us get trapped in the checklist, totally. Like you touched on. And it's sort of these ideals that we can project mm-hmm. onto and say, well, this is
I would argue that's not compatibility. Compatibility is an action, and you know, and I think the checklist is an idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what I'm saying is preventing fearing chemistry because you have an idea.
Because you
what
think
I'm saying
that
is,
you have, it should only be based on compatibility.
Right.
It's definitely a balance.
Yeah,
you have
back to this idea of forcing something where yeah. you go, you don't want to have sex mm-hmm. with them. You don't want to have sex with them.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a lot of those moments. Yeah. I'm kind of fickle, I think, with the people that I want to have sex with and the ones I don't.
Yeah.
And I've had lots of friends who I have a lot of compatibility with in many ways, and they're going, why aren't we partners? I yeah. mean, you know, rattling the cage, and I'm like, no.
But here's the thing, though. I think your chemistry can change within a relationship. And I think that mm-hmm. I think one fault that I take with our society is that we I think it's very immature and naive to desire or think that the chemistry should always be on, you know, mm-hmm. and like this beautiful, amazing thing. And that's just not real. Like me as an individual, my chemistry shifts all the time. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't my relationship chemistry mm-hmm. change all the time? So I think that's where commitment comes in of like, okay, well, we know the base fundamental things are here. The chemistry will shift, to some degree,
totally,
you know, on
yeah.
these levels, but
yeah, and where you
that
are
it'll
life.
Bounce back and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
like
tending to
yeah.
that garden.
That's a great way to end this topic. I feel like that was a really nice thing to leave people with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the commitment of creating space for your partners to evolve and change and still honoring, like, I think that's what you're getting at too, is that honoring the dynamic that you've committed to,
mm-hmm.
But knowing that the person's going to fluctuate and allowing for that is going to create more success.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for being on the show today. This was so awesome. We're not done.
Oh.
We have five questions.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. We do this with every one of our guests. It's our dating version of the Bernard Pivot questionnaire. I will ask you questions. You just give your answers. I will try to keep my big mouth shut.
Okay.
Stephanie and Christina, here are your five questions. What is the first thing you notice about a potential partner?
I was supposed to say like off the top of my head, like physically yeah. or
however you perceive that.
I've sort of, my thought was I do a full body scan. I do. It's kind of an overall body scan. I can't say it's the eyes or, but I've judged people on the shapes of their heads before. I've been like, I don't like the shape of his head. And people are like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. It's not my thing. I don't want to fuck him.
For me, it's definitely an eye thing. You know, the whole classic mirror to the soul. Yeah, like I'll pick someone out in a crowd and like there's no physical type. You know, yeah. it's like his aura is X or it's Y or whatever. There's a personal presence there.
Yeah.
So there's that. Secondly, I look at hands. I don't know why.
What turns you on?
Connection for me. That's very broad, but yeah, for me, like I'm a connection monger.
Mm.
And so if there's not connection there on like a fairly deep level or real level, intense level, I'm not, it's mm-hmm. like nothing's happening. Mm-hmm.
What turns me on is someone who's interested in me, their attentiveness to my needs in that moment when we're together on a date, maybe even things that I didn't know I would make me comfortable. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, create that or offer that. Excites me actually a lot. I'm always amazed
definitely,
by it.
Definitely, yeah.
What's one deal breaker?
For me, someone who the biggest deal breaker is someone who cannot look at their shit. I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, deal breaker, not listening. Yeah, that we're having a conversation, and if I'm saying something, and they, yes, actually, it's if they can't adapt or change, like. If we talk about something and they agree or they apologize about it, but they're not able to adapt, mm-hmm. That's a deal breaker. I go, okay, you can't adapt.
What is one of your strengths and one of your weaknesses in a relationship?
My
this is where
strength.
You get to gloat, and okay. This is where you get to humble yourself.
My strength is. I think I am very good at maintaining connection and nurturing that and getting the other person to connect, which makes it a very vital and rich dynamic. Mm-hmm. My weakness would be undervaluing myself.
Mm. Well said. Yeah.
What about yours, Christina?
Creating balances. Yeah, I think that a strength is that if we are together, I have this fun, loving spirit that just swaddles you with love. And I think you feel the it's not a blanket, but like the warmth of it, the glow. And I think that's a great strength. But the weakness, I think sometimes I can be a bit too independent and wayward. And by that, I mean, I think that I'm forget to always check in with my partner, and I make decisions that aren't agreed upon and maybe don't make my partner feel safe.
That happens. Besides I love you, what three words would you want your partner to tell you?
Oh my God.
That's the last of the five.
I value you.
Nice one.
Oh God, I don't know. That's intense. Besides I love you, I don't know.
Okay.
I value you is good. I am here, maybe.
That's a good one.
I'm
yeah.
Here. Here.
I'm trying to That's think of something one. Like comedically sexual.
No.
Like I want them to be like
now
I do you.
in the bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you guys so much for being on the show with us today, guys. TNA Talk Sex, listen to their podcast. How can people find you?
You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you do your podcast listening. You can search T&A Talk Sex or T&A Talk Sex. And we're also on social media. We love Instagram. You can find us there at TA Talk Sex.
Awesome. And again, guys, we're also on socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Kinda Dating. Kinda Dating is presented by Meltdown Comics. Come visit us at 7522 Sunset Boulevard here in LA. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. And please take a few minutes and review us on iTunes and download the rest of our shows. Guys, we also have an email account. So send us your dating stories and your thoughts, kindadating@gmail.com. And I know it seems tough out there, but just try. Till next time. The show is produced by myself and Mason Booker, who's also the audio engineer. Our associate producer is Aisha Holden. Opening music composed by Joe Lorenzetti, and our logo and graphics are by Jenna Yannick and K. Daniel Ellis.